A very warm welcome to our fourth podcast episode. First of all, I wish you a happy new year. I was thinking that maybe we could quickly talk about what we have planned for the new year. So, Florian, what have you got planned for 2026? Have you thought of anything at all?
Man, no New Year's resolutions. But of course, there are a few things. More listening, fewer meetings, shorter meetings. More in person rather than online, especially when it comes to meetings and talks. Those are some of the key ones for me on a personal level. Yeah, when it comes to the Billbox, we are obviously right in the middle of a major shift. We already briefly touched on what's actually happening with AI, what's happening with data protection, and to clearly highlight the products, of course. Those are the kinds of things I've planned in terms of content, and of course, much, much more empowerment from our management, from our employees. Those are the big things. And having more time with our dog.
Very nice. Before we forget it later or it gets lost, I wanted to point out again that you can now also find our podcast on Spotify. And of course, you can also follow us on Instagram through the Billbox official page and also on LinkedIn so that you can always stay up to date on all of the latest episodes. And yeah, so you should definitely go and check that out right now.
Our goal is, I think, 100,000 monthly listeners. That's, I think, the plan.
Yeah, that would be a dream. So yeah, work hard. Today in the podcast, we're talking about a day in the life of an invoice. So to speak, to explain and thoroughly trace the entire Billbox workflow all the way from the initial receipt to export payment. And I'd say we'll start directly with that. Yes. What does it look like when an invoice arrives, let's say, first of all, perhaps in a physical paper-based format, at Billbox or as a PDF document?
Wait a moment. Of course, it is not quite as simple as that. I really need to back up a bit. The invoice itself is not actually the very first step, but basically the whole cycle. Well, it starts way much earlier before there's even any invoice. Now, let's talk about this. We are only talking about B2B here. Someone in company A is looking for a service or a product from company B and maybe even negotiates the product and then actually orders the product or service. So before the invoice, there's always some form of order first. And then often, usually the product or service is delivered first. Sometimes there are also cases where the invoice and the money come first, but usually in the majority of cases, the service is provided first. So order, service, invoice, and of course, you want to see the internal process at Billbox now. And for us, of course, this paper is just like a relic from the 80s. Fundamentally speaking, there are actually 2.5 processes. There is indeed the specific case where stubborn business partners who, first of all, cling to paper and secondly, stick to old processes. They send letters and the really, really stubborn ones send those letters to the Billbox customer. I know them. That's where they have their address. That's where their mailbox is. And then the customer can decide whether to accept this invoice at all. Let us assume that they actually do accept it, then they will usually forward it on because in most countries there are strict regulations regarding the authenticity of the document. Right now, half of the audience is falling asleep because someone has to make sure that it is indeed the real invoice. But then there are also customers who say, I'll just scan the thing and upload it to my Billbox. That works too. Strictly speaking, Billbox can't really know anymore if it was the genuine invoice. But some clients care a great deal about that, most of them, and then others don't really mind. We can handle that. So the receipt is scanned at some point, usually in one of Billbox's scan centers. They exist in several countries, actually in quite a few countries. And that's where we run physical mailrooms, Billbox does. And that's where this document arrives. So it really gets opened because letters opened up and placed onto the scanner, and then using what is called procedural documentation, meaning a documented process, it is ensured that what goes onto the scanner really corresponds to what was there on the paper beforehand. So that you then, as a client of Billbox, will actually have a truly genuine replacement for the very physical medium in Germany, the BSI. Federal Ministry, I think that is. Now I've tripped myself up on the acronym TRAP. We can all just Google that once again. It talks about the BSI RESI scan, which basically refers to replacement scanning. It's about making sure that what I see on the screen here as a PDF matches the invoice. Because this invoice also has tax and payment aspects. And then there are things like sales tax, and all countries try to prevent any funny business from being done with sales tax. That is paper. The paper is then transformed through a documented process, first into a PDF PostScript data file. And then basically the same thing happens as when the PDF arrives at Billbox. But you wanted to focus on the paper.
That was actually just my first thought, how a paper invoice actually gets into Billbox, because it's probably the most abstract, or I kind of figured that it takes the most amount of conversion when you have this paper format and you want to see the data somewhere. How does that happen? What other options are there? I mean, we talked about Zugferd and other formats. Yeah,
that's already four steps ahead. Just to wrap up the paper, there's so much emotion attached to paper and sometimes irrationality, because strictly speaking, in the vast majority of countries, Billbox would have to or must destroy the paper at the very moment that we have transformed it into an image by making use of our certified process into a PDF. Because otherwise the customer might even have two originals. But now comes the emotional and irrational part. We actually ask the clients and their tax advisors, we have to destroy this, is that okay with you too? And then actually a pretty big majority still says, better keep it for now. And so in that regard, there is also the question of where to store this physical paper in Germany for a period of 10 years. If a commander actually wants that, knowing full well that you will probably never ever need it again. So that is really not that simple of a matter at all. But for the vast majority of our customers, we do actually destroy all of these receipts. So you asked, what else is there? So we have a PDF, but of course, it's already a bit better. What's happened over the last 10 years is, of course, a bit better. That, of course, it's not sent by letter and by post, but by email. And then ideally, this invoice is received by Billbox as a PDF. That was before e-invoices. And then an email would arrive with a PDF file attached to it. And there too, you have so many special cases. Sometimes they send multiple pages, Excel sheets, and whatever else those suppliers come up with. But let's assume a PDF comes in. Then it basically has the exact same status as this scan. So then at first, there is a PDF inside the Billbox system. But of course, as absolutely everyone knows by now, it really does make a difference whether you have a scan of a paper document or whether you have a digitally printed PDF. Of course, that already contains data and characters and words and numbers and digits. And it is, of course, absolutely and significantly easier to extract and retrieve data from a digital PDF document than it is to do so from a physical paper document. It's actually not much easier, it's just as easy, but there's a higher chance of error if it only comes from a paper document. And that makes it a bit more difficult to spot and avoid mistakes. So now you can very easily imagine, if it is not an electronic invoice, all of the data will be extracted from this PDF document. So there are very, very sophisticated technologies. Of course, the systems in the inbox know a lot of rules and say, oh, that's an invoice from Austria. It might have a number on it that looks quite different in Austria than in France. So there is a lot of automatic recognition. And based on rules, this data from the invoice must then be put into a structure where certain things can be checked. where clients get information about prices and quantities, where accountants can post things automatically, and where banks know where the money actually goes and by what dates. So that's where this data, the data that's usually on this A4 or US letter format is then put into a structure, put into a workflow, which the clients can then work with in the bill box because they need this data in different places. Then with the e-invoice, to address your question, we also have XML, BW, XML, people. What else is there? Verifacto, now coming in Spain, PDP in France, so just many, many different ones. Procedures and paths and formats and standards for e-invoices. That's where the data already comes in a specific structure. So you don't have to extract the data from a PDF document yourself, but instead they already arrive in a structured format. The structure doesn't always match the client's needs 100%, but it definitely already has a very good and clearly recognizable structure. And of course, for the tax authorities, that is their interest, also a verifiable structure. So basically, you transform the paper into an image, you transform the image into data, you put the data into a structure, you put that structure into a structure the client needs. That's a five-step process, of which four steps have now actually been automated and streamlined by the e-invoice, or if we're being completely fair, will be.
Okay, so that means that invoices are coming in through all of the possible ways into Billbox. That is, I'd say, the upload. Verification, what does that look like? So we just started discussing how Billbox, I don't know, if an invoice comes from Austria now, is somehow different or at least recognized. What else is actually verified with an invoice now in the Billbox system?
You have to imagine that every single country, or at least all of the countries we know of, has certain compliance requirements. For example, mandatory information has to appear on an invoice. These often depend on the specific legal form of both of the companies, meaning the sending and the receiving company. They have certain legal forms. There are also amount-dependent formalities, small amounts, large amounts. There is some with VAT and some without VAT. There are lots of rule-based, formal, and mostly nationally regulated formal requirements. And those are actually checked by the algorithm and the machines. The machine that is checking the bill box, is it actually compliant? Is it mathematically correct? Or would it be tax deductible? Or can it be claimed as business expenses? Are there any formal objections? And Billbox actually is not held liable for this particular audit. That is primarily because in many countries you are not allowed to do that. Some tasks are reserved for tax advisors and related professions, very strong in German-speaking countries, but it actually exists in many countries, but in a very, very strict manner. These invoices are checked formally, mathematically, fiscally, and for compliance. And now there are indeed so many attempts. To get a hold of company money through various illegal means, perhaps you have already heard about this, IBANs, attempts to fake IBANs or fake invoices. So there is actually a great deal of creativity out there. And in that area as well, Billbox has some very, very powerful measures to prevent these kinds of fraud attempts, IBAN fraud, scams, and so forth, to detect, uncover, and prevent them. So those are the formal checks that Billbox actually performs. But it doesn't do content checks.
Now, I do have another question. Specifically, we just talked about this case where it's really important that an invoice is only in the Billbox once. What actually happens if an invoice is uploaded to the Billbox twice or three times? I mean, what's the process there?
Yes, the mailbox actually does detect duplicate files, things that enter the system multiple times. First, I've seen this image before, or I've seen this invoice before, speaking as the system now. Or else, this particular invoice number already exists from this specific supplier to this particular customer. And right there are also indeed many, many verification mechanisms in place to make absolutely sure that these are actually real invoices from real companies to real customers, and that these invoices only ever enter into the actual system and the process exactly one single time.
Okay. Regarding the content review, that's probably done by the customer. How exactly does that process work? So you log into the bill box and then you see the uploaded invoices.
Yeah, now we're getting back to the very first sentence of today, which was, wait, the whole thing actually starts with the order. So it really depends. Clients who work with so-called PO references or with ERP systems, they very often check the compliance of the invoices in their ERP system because that is usually connected directly to the bill box. This basically means that I ordered something, I have received a delivery or some goods, and I have accepted them in my ERP system. And through this connection between the ERP system, enterprise resource planning, by the way, so an ERP or administration system, this delivery note can be automatically checked against the invoice. But now let's just look at the process in the bill box. If this connection to the ERP doesn't exist, or if the client doesn't even have one, which is also very common, then someone goes ahead and logs into their mobile app or the bill box workflow, which is the way that you use bill box, and basically checks the actual content of the invoice right there and says, yep, I have 123 francs here for, I don't know, office supplies that I have ordered, which I received. The invoice is fine. That is exactly what the users actually do within the bill box workflow, either directly in the mobile app or in the web-based workflow. The beauty of the mobile app is that I can easily attach delivery notes to the invoice using the photo function and various other really convenient features. But they review it in the bill box workflow and say, yes, this invoice is not only correct mathematically and fiscally, which bill box has already checked, but it also concerns my company. And it also matches what I ordered and hopefully actually received in terms of quality, quantity, price, and everything we agreed on.
Okay, once this entire approval process is fully completed, what happens next? How is the payment actually made?
Sometimes there's a multi-stage process. There are sometimes larger or more complex organizations. They often have different people checking different things. In Billbox, we always expect a, well, they call it the 4i principle. We actually have a 4x4i principle automatically in Billbox because there are actually different verification criteria, but I won't go into too much detail on that today. But it is always going to be a multi-step process because you want to prevent a user or an account or a person from doing absolutely everything, right up to the actual payment transactions. It's not always about just one person. It's also about making sure that one user account doesn't receive, check, post, pay, and then also release the money at the bank, especially in organizations that consist of more than just one person. But even if it's only one person, it always makes sense to maybe have a bank take another look that everything's above board. So it's very good when money is involved to share that responsibility between at least two. So let us move on. Sometimes it happens that they have more complex approval processes, but as a general rule, you have one person who actually checks the content. As a general rule, you have either a machine or a human being who posts the invoice. This has to go into the accounting system. This is what happens. It is either an internal accountant of yours or someone who is external at a tax consulting firm or an accounting agency or whatever. Very often, almost always, there is a second authority that approves the invoice for its final payment. In tiny businesses, the same person does the factual review. As soon as they are even, just slightly larger companies, it is usually going to be a different person. And then there are people who are authorized to manage the bank or bank accounts, who then basically pay from Billbox and ensure that it doesn't, is not merely booked, but that the money is also actually transferred directly from the customer's own bank account to the bank account of the service provider or supplier. So these four instances, you actually have them even in the smallest company. These four instances exist.
That means ideally it is actually just one single day in the entire life of an invoice. But if it's a paper invoice, its lifespan can actually be very long, say, if it has to be archived for 10 years. Yeah, so I would definitely hope that there are fewer days in the life of an invoice. The fewer, the better in this case. Yeah.
They always live with, unfortunately, a game of chance. They sometimes live for those 10 years, or they at least have this sword of Damocles hanging over them within those 10 years. Now, when you talk about Germany, or some have 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, so there are different time frames, they usually come, I'm saying this very quietly, are they closely linked to, this is just a claim, the overall level of efficiency of the tax and audit system operating in that country? The longer this period of time actually is, the more a Ministry of Finance believes that it needs to have more time in order to still be able to double check things at some point in the future. That means if it's organized in a very, very digital and very lean way, or a tax system is simple, then I would think these retention periods would actually be shorter. And if it's a not so effective administration, you keep them for longer because you might say, I might need to, maybe I will only get around to auditing the Schmitz and Lucas company in 8 years' time. And that's why, unfortunately, at some point in the next few years, this one invoice, which was actually processed in 2 minutes, meaning processed, checked, booked, paid, sometimes taking just seconds. But then it sits there for another 5, 7, 8, or 10 years. Somewhere digitally on a server or wherever, in the past, in some dry basement, because an external party is still authorized to inspect and view them, such as a tax auditor from a tax office or the tax commissioner in Switzerland.
All right, thank you so much for your time. I think that we'll probably see each other again in the next few days for the next podcast episode. Yeah, and good luck with this afternoon.
It's just like on Lance, 3 shows in a row. Great. It was fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah, me too. Thanks.
Bye, Azessa.